Kings chapter 3, verse 10. Now, what we had been into here last week, kind of a bad place to quit, but there was three kings got together, the king of Israel, the king of Judah, and the king of Edom. And they was going against Moab. And when they got all their troops together, notice in verse 10, the king of Israel. Now, who was the king of Israel? How many remember who he was? Huh? That was Jehoiakim. That was Ahab, Ahab's son. And he got a little scared. He said, verse 10, now the king of Egypt said, alas, that the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. Now, what he's worried about, they realized at the time they were going to battle, up there in verse 9, that there was no water. And they're going to go into battle without any water. And he said, well, the Lord's got all of us together here, so he can just deliver us in the hand of Moab. We're going to go over there to fight Moab. Without no water, we ain't got a chance. See? But as we said, you know, and you know, they, I could stop there and say a lot of things, but just say this and move on. You know, this world don't have a chance. And the only chance this world's got is a few people still around that know the God, that know God and believe the Bible, still pray. And that's all that saved them. There was one king there that knew the Lord. Right? And that was Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah. Go look at verse 11. But Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of the Lord by him? In other words, here's a man that's got some sense, see? In other words, look, let's don't leave the Lord out of this. No matter how bad it looks, let's don't forget God. See? That's the trouble of the world. The world puts God out of everything.
Amen.
See? Where Christians don't. We put God in everything. See? And that's the difference. See? And he says, and the one of the kings of Israel's servants, see? Now there's a man, that's the strange fellow. There's a man that knows the truth is running with the wrong crowd. See? Has a servant of the king of Israel. Well, the king of Israel was a Baal worshiper. See? But here was one of his servants that knew the truth. Because he said, here is Elijah, the son of Shimhad, which poureth water on the hands of Elijah. Hey, there's a man that can tell you the truth. He's Elijah. Because he ministered to Elijah. See that? Isn't that strange today? You know, you stop that. That's really sad in a sense. I think about a lot of people tonight that are saved. And they're in these old organized religions, dead churches, phony religions, mixed up. It wouldn't get out for nothing. Yet they know they got no business. They know where they are. God ain't there. And they won't leave. I don't understand that. I just don't. But so much of that goes on. See? All right, so now you remember Jehoshaphat, that's the same one back then first came when they was going up, you know, he teamed up with old Ahab back there in 1 Kings chapter 22. And before he did anything, I mean, in his compromise and his unequal yoke and all that, he still thinks about the Lord. See it? And you know, you got a spiritual picture there of a Christian. I mean, you may go out here and get messed up and get with the wrong crowd, get in the wrong church or whatever, but you know, you ought to still consider the Lord. And he did. And that's really all that saved him, see? Now, I gave you, last week, I gave you some lessons you can learn from this. I'll give you a quick review of them right here. Number one is that Jehoshaphat is backslid. Look at verse 7. That's 2 Kings 3, verse 7. And he went and sent to Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, saying, the king of Moab hath rebelled against me. Will thou go up with me against Moab to battle? And he said, I will go up. I am as thou art, and my people are as thy people, and my horses are thy horses. Is that true? Well, of course not. Somebody called up me and said, well, look, you're a Christian, I'm a Christian. You believe the Bible, I believe the Bible. I just go to a different religion than you do. We the same. No, we're not. If you say and believe the Bible, you're not like them that don't.
Amen.
Don't say you are. You're not in that class, see? So when a Christian makes a statement like that, they backslid away from God. So Jehoshaphat was backslid from God when he done this thing. He'd been right with God. He never teamed up with the king of Ahab, nor the king of Edom there, see? All right, he's backslid. Number two, it's a picture of the lack of the Holy Spirit. In verse 9 there, they had no water, see? Water for the host. And water, I told you a lot of times, is symbolic of the Word, and a lot of times it's symbolic of the Holy Spirit. But what you got here, a picture is, they're going to battle without the directions and the leadership of the Holy Spirit. See? What you don't never do. If you're saved, don't you never enter into nothing without directions from the Spirit of God. Holy Spirit of God ain't going to lead you wrong if you're saved. A lot of times you get messed up, it's your own doings. I mean, I've done it. Whether you have not, I mean, I've got myself in a mess several times. It's my doing, it wasn't God, it's just me. Right? And some of you probably said, you never done that, but I have, see? All right, and the next thing, notice the despair of the army, see? That king's word, look at verse 10. And the king of Israel said, alas, you know? I mean, we all together is going over there to die in the hands of Moab because we got no water. You see? Just get discouraged, despair. Well, of course, you can get that way when God ain't leading you. I mean, I don't care. If God's leading you, you can have peace about it. Amen. If you're entering into something and you're worried about it, God ain't leading you. Right? Right? All right. Now, notice what he said. The king of Israel said, alas, that the Lord. The Lord? Well, he worships Baal. What does he know about the Lord? See? You remember some years back here when out in Texas when John F. Kennedy got shot, they said old Jackie Kennedy running around there screaming, oh my God, he's shot. Well, she wasn't a good Catholic. She didn't go to Mary. She went right to the top. Right. Oh, my God. She said, oh, Mary, Mother of God, intercede. What happened? Oh, she went right to the top. She called him, oh, my God. Right? Tell you something, folks. Mary doesn't do you no good. You know, you don't need Mary, you know. All right, notice. So verse 11, Jehoshaphat, he said, that's the second time he's done that. See? Now, there's a reference on this I want to show you. We looked at this before, but take your Bible and turn to Jeremiah 23, and I want to show you something on this thing right now, and we're wasting a lot of time here in the first part of this. I don't know where we get very far tonight, but I've told you a lot of times, you want to read two chapters in the Bible that deal with false religions and false prophets and lying religions. You read Matthew 23 and Jeremiah 23. Of course, Matthew 23, that's one of those chapters, one of these new Bibles mess up. They can't. That chapter's rough. And that's why they take out Matthew 23:14. You won't find it in these new Bibles. You know, because it's too rough. I mean, it tells on them, see? Now look at Jeremiah 23, and I'll read you a few verses here. Jeremiah 23, we'll begin at verse 33. Now, this is talking about what God says about false prophets. That'll bring up David, we'll say lying preachers, you know, or lost preachers, about the same deal. You got a bunch of them out today, you know. You take Jim Bacon, Swaggart, and Robert. I wouldn't give you 20 cents that whole crowd saved, you know. And yet they, how many people they deceive and swindle, you know. And like I said, you know, a thousand times, today you can't tell people the truth and get along, but you lie to people and swindle people and, you know, and cheat people, they'll love you. But if you try to be honest and lay it out straight, they won't. Then I won't, you see. Amen. And that's why them fellas done so good, I reckon. But anyway, look at verse 33, Jeremiah 23:33. The Bible says, and when this people, or the prophet, or a priest, shall ask thee, saying, what is the burden of the Lord? What shall I say unto him then? What burden? I will even forsake you, saith the Lord. See? And notice back there where we studied, the king of Israel, you know, he didn't, when this comment was made, when the servant said, you know, this about Elijah, that king of Israel didn't say a word. You see it? Now look, the Bible said, what is the burden of the Lord? Then thou shalt say unto them, what burden? I will even forsake you, saith the Lord. As for the prophet and the priest and the people that shall say the burden of the Lord, I will punish that man and his house. See? In other words, God is saying, if a man gets up and lies and somebody listens to him, God will punish them and listen to him. Right. See? Because I've said before, and I'll say it again, and I'll say it to anybody, you are responsible yourself for the truth.
Amen.
Every individual is responsible to God himself for accepting or rejecting the truth. And just because you say, well, in my church, you know, we don't never hear the Bible, that's your fault. Get out.
Yeah.
My preacher don't believe the Bible. Then get rid of him and get you one that does. We can't get rid of him. Then you get out. See? That's what it says. All right. Verse 36. Jeremiah 23:36. And the burden of the Lord you shall mention no more. For every man's word shall be his burden. How about that? For you have perverted the words of the living God and the Lord of hosts, our God. See? In other words, a Bible perverter, a man that don't accept God at his word, you see? In other words, what they're saying is quit worrying about the burden of the Lord. Quit worrying about that. And listen to what God said and quit trying to make the Bible fit your religion. That's what they do today, see?
Right.
Now, what they do today, they find something they want to believe, then they look for a verse to back it up, and that's all they got.
Yep.
Huh?
Right.
You better start worrying about what God said. Yep. Amen? Now, that's the problem. All right, to go back to 2 Kings 3. Notice verse 12. And Jehoshaphat said, and here's king of Judah. Jehoshaphat said, the word of the Lord is with him. You see it? Now look at this. People that know God is interested in what God said.
Amen.
See it? Jehoshaphat said, the word of the Lord is with him. Who is that? That's Elijah. Right? So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. Notice the king of Israel still don't have nothing to say. You know why? He don't know the Lord. And a man doesn't know the Lord doesn't know anything about the word of God.
Amen.
See? But Jehoshaphat represents in type of the Christian. See, that knows the Lord. And he's interested in what God has to say. You know, a lot of folks aren't interested in the Bible. They just don't know the Lord, that's all. That's the whole problem. It's not a matter of a different church or a different religion. They just don't know the Lord. That's all. All right, notice verse 13. And Elijah said unto the king of Israel. This is... Jehoiakim. Back chapter 3 verse 1. And Elijah said to the king of Israel, what have I to do with thee? Get thee to the province of thy father. Boy, Elijah's rough, wasn't he? I mean, he wouldn't have been a well-liked fellow if he was here today. You know? It'd be like if the Methodist come to me and said, I'd like to ask you a question about the Bible. I say, what do I got to do to you? Why don't you go to the National Council of Churches? That's who supports you.
All right.
Well, you're not very friendly. You shouldn't talk to people that way. Well, I say, what do you mean coming to me? Why don't you go to the prophets of your father? You know who he's talking about, don't you? That 450 Baal prophets. See? And to the prophets of thy mother, the 400. Amen. Back in 1 Kings chapter 17, 850 altogether. I mean, surely, you know, your daddy had 450, your mama had 400. You couldn't learn nothing from them? Right? And the king of Israel said unto him, Nay, for the Lord, now he's lying, see? He's fixing a lie right here. For the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them to the hands of Moab. See? Now he's saying the Lord is in it. Who started it all? Who started the three kings coming together? The king of Israel, right? Now he's saying the Lord called them together. And he don't even know the Lord. See? And not only that, God didn't call Jehoshaphat to join those two kings. He voluntarily did it. Right. Remember? All right, look at verse 14. Verse 14. And Elijah said, As the Lord liveth. Now I told you that's the highest oath you can take. See? You swear by an eternal being that has no beginning or no ending on something that's going to happen. And Elijah said, As the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I surely stand, were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not look towards thee nor see thee. Boy, God, he's just a mean fellow. He's just not very friendly at all. See? Now what you got here, you got a picture. God is still sparing the ungodly for the godly. See? Now Elijah is saying, if it wasn't for Jehoshaphat, the fact that I know him and know he stands for the Lord, I wouldn't look at you or speak to you. You know, that's about the way it was back in Sodom and Gomorrah. God spared Lot for Abraham's sake. And if they'd have been 10 righteous men, God would have spared all three of those cities. Huh? Amen. He did spare Zorah because Lot went there. Right. He'd have wiped that one out if Lot hadn't been in it. Right. See? Amen. And you know the only reason that, like I told you here the other Sunday, Los Angeles has got over 200,000 queers in it now. And if it wasn't for a few Christians out there, God would probably drop that whole thing off in the ocean tomorrow. Amen. See? And the only thing that's keeping this nation together tonight is a few people still left that believe the Bible and say and pray. Amen. And the ungodly is cashing in on the benefits. God ain't paying no attention to that heathen crowd out there, the crowd that's throwing the Bible away and you know what they're doing this day and time about the way their attitude about God in the Bible. I heard on the radio today where some fellow last night went down here in Miami and tried to have a Halloween prayer meeting. And well, that's all right. He was telling people they need to get saved on the hope of Jesus Christ and Halloween's the devil's holiday. And you know who protested? A bunch of queers guys said, well, I think they're a bunch of jerks. Christians are nothing but a bunch of jerks and hypocrites. Man, a queer calling a Christian a jerk and a hypocrite. Huh? But they got their rights too, see? And the Christians get back and don't say a thing about it. You know, the preacher get on. They never mention the queers, the lifestyle. Of course, I do, but. But you turn the radio on sometime. I mean, you ever heard Jim Baker get up and say, well, I ought to burn these queers and run them out? You know? No, he ain't going to do it. He'd probably get some of their money. You know? There you go. So what do you know? All right, now, Elijah, now what? They got a problem. They're going to battle and they got no water. So they called on the man of God. All right? Here's what Elijah said. Look at verse 15. But now bring me a minstrel. That's a music thing. You know, music. You know, music's good if it's the right kind. Amen? You know there was music here before Adam, don't you? Huh? That's right. You ever read Job 38? The Bible said, and the morning stars sang on creation morning. Right. I mean, music can affect you. That's the universal language. See? All right, so he said, bring me a minstrel. And it came to pass when the minstrel played, see, that the hand of the Lord came upon him. See? God is going to use music to prophesy. Of course, Elijah's going to do it. But see, Elijah is the man of God, and the man of God always has the Word of God. Right?
Amen.
If he don't have the Word of God, he ain't the man of God.
Amen.
He's just another yo-yo. See?
Right.
Very few people know what that is today, you know, but anyway, that's what it is. See? Now, God is using me. Well, you remember back when we studied 1 Samuel, when David played the harp while Saul was content and he settled down. And when David quit playing, why, he went crazy again. He was like a maniac. See? Now, don't get me wrong. The wrong kind of music, I mean, it'll destroy your brain. This stuff today, you know, this bam, 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 this rock and roll garbage, you know, I mean, that'll blow your brain.
Right.
See? But the right kind's good. I'll tell you one of the worst kind of music in the world today. A lot of people wouldn't agree, but it's country and western. They claim that something like 80% of these liquor ballroom suicides is caused from this country and western music.
Yeah.
See? You know, Sam, you know, the mini-skirted whore at Sam's place run off with Jack, you know, and all this kind of stuff,
yeah.
You know. That's what all that stuff's about.
Right.
See? And they got to be drunk to do it, you know. I mean, I went up that Grand Ole Opry one time back when I was a young fella, a long time ago. I was going to go one night, and there wasn't even having a bunch of drunks. And all them fellas on the stage, they was all drunk. They hadn't been drunk. They couldn't sing. And I kind of lost my love for that stuff, because that's before I got saved. And when long after that, I got saved, and I realized I was on the right track. I just didn't go far enough with it. Amen. All right, let's get back. 1 Kings, 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 16. And he said, thus saith the Lord. Well, that's what they wanted, isn't it? They want to know, they want to hear from God.
Right?
Right?
Right.
So they're going to get it.
Yep.
Thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. Now, they got no water. And he said, well, dig ditches everywhere. See? Now, notice in the next chapter, chapter 4, it's make room for oil, see? And like I said, oil and water is a type of the Holy Spirit, see? So, if you want God to feed the Spirit, you got to make room for the Spirit. That's the lesson here, see? All right, look at there. Make this valley full of ditches. For thus saith the Lord. All right. You shall not see wind, neither shall you see rain, yet the valley shall be filled with water, that you may drink, both ye and your cattle and your beast. See it? Now, what he's saying is that God's going to bring water out of nowhere. You ain't going to see it rain. You're not going to see no wind, yet all these ditches are going to be filled with water. Where's it coming from? God's going to do it. See? Now, you just respond to what God said and watch God do something. See? Now, the problem is water. That's what they need. All right? So they went to the right place and they got the right message. They're going to get the right results. Verse 18. And this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. He will deliver the Moabites also into your hand. See? I mean, it's a light thing for God to bring water from nowhere, and it'll be a light thing for God to bring you the victory.
Right.
See it? I mean, you see, that's something we sometimes think, well, you know, God, you know, you could, you know, Lord, you might take care of one little thing, but Lord, this one here now, you know, that's just too big for you. You know, you think that way. But let me remind you, you have never had a problem God couldn't solve.
Amen.
The problem's you.
Amen.
See? Of course, I say you, I'm included in that. You know that, don't you? I mean, I'm included in that. I mean, but sometimes, you know, as human nature, you think, well, God, you know, this one here, I'm afraid a little too big for you. See? But God said, look, you are not going to, the ditches are here, that you're not going to see no rain, you're not going to see no water, but they're going to be filled. And that's a light thing. It'll be just a lighter thing for God to give you the victory. That's how God do, you know, no problem, boy. Just, what do you want? And people sit back, profess to be saved, and let the devil get the victory in the entire life. Let circumstances take charge and run the whole life when all time the victory's there. See? It's there if you want it. Boy, I tell you, if we just get a hold of some of this stuff, you know, people just get a hold of some of this stuff, it's real, you know. I mean, I still believe that that's, 900 years before Christ was born, but God's an eternal God. He can do anything day done then if he wants to, right?
Right.
I mean, God ain't lost, I don't believe he's lost a bit of power since then.
Amen.
Matter of fact, he proved he got more. All right, look at verse 19, 2 Kings 3:19. And you shall smite every fenced city, in every choice city, and shall fail every good tree, and stop all wells of water, and mar every good piece of land with stones. And of course they did all that. God said, hey, what you gonna do when you go in there? And they did all that, see? Notice the eye, utter destruction, see? Total destruction. And you'll see, and we'll get up by the next few verses, that's what they did. There he said, you're gonna smash every fenced city, every choice city, every good tree you're going to chop down, you're going to stall all the wells of water and mar every good piece of land, put rocks in every land where they can't plow and can't grow no more food. You're going to utterly destroy the whole works. Verse 20. And it came to pass in the morning, when the meat offering was offering, that behold, there came water by the way of Edom, and the country was filled with water. How about that? Huh? Now the meat offering is back in Exodus 29, verse 39, 40. There was a morning offering, and there was an evening offering. Lamb was offered every morning, every evening. And of course, you know what that meat offering represents, don't you? It's the type of Christ, you know. And of course, in verse 20 there, God filled the place with water like he said he would. All right? Verse 21. And when all the Moabites heard that the kings were come up to fight against them, they gathered all that were able to put on armor and upward and stood in the border. Now the border there is Edom and Moab. They were right there together. And that's where they are. Remember, they're coming from Edom. Right? Because you got the king of Israel and the king of Judah and the king of Edom. And they're coming from Edom to Moab. And the border there is Edom and Moab. Alright? And look at verse 22. And they rose up early in the morning, and the sun shone upon the water, and the Moabites saw the water on the other side as red as blood. Now what it is, when that sun first hit that water, it looked like blood. You see it? And when that sun hit that water, looked like blood, you know what they thought? They thought, well, they done all three of them got in a war, in a civil war, which a lot of times happened, and killed themselves, and they blew it all over the place. So we got the thing won. Look there at verse 23, and they said, this is blood. The kings are surely slain, and they have smitten one another. Now, therefore, Moab to the spoil. They've killed themselves. You know, now we're going there and take everything that's left. That's what they thought, see? And you'll notice that that'll also tell you something if you think about that. That'll give you an idea what ancient combat was like. Huh? Can you imagine just... I mean, if it didn't happen, they wouldn't have thought. Just seeing ditches just flooded with human blood. Huh? Now, I'll show you this and that in ancient combat and modern combat. Take your Bible and turn to Isaiah 9. Isaiah 9. And look at this. And what you got here, you got a picture of ancient combat and modern combat. Isaiah 9, verse 5. That's on page 721. Listen to this. Isaiah 9, verse 5, the Bible says, "For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood, but men's clothes just soaked in blood. But this shall be with burning and fueled of fire." See? Now, you don't see modern warfare like you see modern warfare with tanks and planes and explosions and fire and all that stuff, you know. A bomb goes off and blows a man to pieces. There's no blood. He don't bleed. It's just hunks of meat all over the place, if you can find any sometime. But in the old ancient combat, where they kill thousands and thousands of men, can you imagine 4,000 or 5,000 men, each one pouring out 6 to 8 quarts of blood on the ground? Huh? And really, in Revelation, the Bible said the horse runs to the bridles, to the mouth of the bridle. I mean, can you imagine that? And we see in Revelation there's one army of 200 million. See? And the blood flowing to the horse's bridle is about 186 miles long, about 10 miles wide, and about 3 feet deep. That's a lot of blood. That'll be ancient combat. Right? Even out of what it's like, you know. Which also, you could stop and, you know, you don't have many. There used to be something about ancient combat that give a man courage. A man go off to battle and kill 10 or 15 men with a sword, and he didn't get killed, maybe got cut up, it give him courage. You don't have men of real courage today. They least little thing, they're afraid, you know. They just scared to death, scared that something's going to happen to them, you know. You just don't have that today. Very little of it. All right, let's get back. 2 Kings 3, verse 24. "And when they came to the camp of Israel, the Israelites rose up and smote the Moabites ambush." See it? "So that they fled before them, but they went forward, smiting the Moabites even in their country." Now, they were winning the battle in their own land. See? Now, you see, if these Moabites would have knew the Lord and heard the word of the Lord, they would have knew they wasn't going to win that battle. See it? You know, if an unsaved man just could have enough sense to realize that the Bible's true and he's got no hope for his sin except Jesus Christ, he might come out and do a little better. Amen? Amen. But they still keep thinking, that's just religion, and you know, that's just your belief, and I look at it a little different, and I believe a little different from you and all this stuff. But folks, it don't matter what you believe. You know, if you believe wrong, you're just wrong, that's all. And that's the way it is, and nothing you can do about it. Verse 25, "And they beat down the cities, and on every good piece of land cast every man his stone." That's what they said back here was going to happen up there in verse 19. You see it? "Cast every man his stone." No, they put stones out in the land where they couldn't plow it, couldn't grow any more food. That's for Winn-Dixie. Amen? Back then they had to grow their food. Right? "And filled it, and they stopped all the wells of water," like they said in verse 19, "and fell all the good trees," like said in verse 19, only in Kharoset, if I'm saying that word right, "left they the stones thereof, howbeit the slingers went about it and smote it." See? Now they left the buildings in that one city. All right, verse 26. "And when the king of Moab saw that the battle was too sore for him, he took with him 700 men that drew sword to break through even unto the king of Edom, but they could not." See? Now, Edom was his personal enemy because, like I said, they were right next to each other. See? But the Bible said he couldn't. He couldn't win the battle. He couldn't defeat Edom with his 700 men, because the reason he couldn't defeat him, because God said he wasn't going to win. Right? Amen? I heard on the news today, they said if they're saying now the war may break out over there. They said if the war breaks out, that the gasoline here will go to $3 a gallon, even though we still got plenty of it. See? Now, I ain't no need to tell you what happened to this country if that happened. Amen? But I'm going to tell you something. If we do go to war over there, if we do, we just think we took a beating in Vietnam and Korea. You're gonna see one nation, the United States of America, get their britches beat off. That's my prediction. You say, why do you say that? Because I got a Bible.
Right.
I got a Bible. And I believe the Bible's right. And I know there can't no nation live like America's lived the last 20 years and keep on winning battles. And when a nation turns from God, God turns from the nation. And when God turns from the nation's had it. As a nation, we've had it. The wicked shall be turned into hell. And all the nations that forget God. See? Now, you live in a nation like this, where queers got more rights than you got.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
And the public schools are required to teach evolution as fact, while they can take the Bible and throw it out, not even required to say, I won't let you mention the Bible in the public school system.
Amen.
See? We've had it. And you live in a nation like we live today, where the men and women in the Congress and the Senate and the House of Representatives are as low down and ungodly and sorry and crooked and low down as what we got. We've had it.
Amen.
I told a fellow today, I said, the biggest crooks in this world's got sent them right up in our capital, Washington, D.C.
Amen.
Now, let me tell you something. I'm not a politician. But I got enough sense to know this. If I spend more money than I make, I'm in trouble.
That's right.
Amen.
And I'm working, man, and you're working, people. And the government is spending more money than we'd make. That's what's the matter with our country. That's why we got such a deficit, and they can't do nothing about it. And so in order to try to do something about it, the first thing they do is give themselves, each one gets a $28,000 a year raise.
Right.
Now, you tell me that's going to help us. I mean, you know what they're going to do? They're going to try and take more and more and more and more because they're crooked.
Amen.
They're crooked. Willing Man Nation is run by the professional crooks of this world.
Amen.
And I'm like the fella in Tampa. He's got the right. He said, get rid of all the hypocrites.
Amen.
And I'm for it.
That's right.
And I wouldn't care if they dropped an atom bomb on Washington, D.C. and blowed that thing level that ground up, man, we got some new, we might have a chance.
Yeah.
I'm for it. You say, you're a revolutionist. Well, call me what you want to, but this thing can't go on the way it's going. If God don't do something, folks, this nation going to fall.
Right.
But you know why we're in that mess? Because we got a bunch of people up there from the president on that don't think about God.
Right.
They don't want God, throw the Bible out, they won't let you go out here and tell people about God.
Right. Amen.
When you raise a generation of kids where they can go to public school that's supported by the government and not allowed to learn about God, you better tighten your seatbelt, you're in trouble.
Amen.
I didn't know I was going to say all that, but I did anyway.
Amen. Good preaching.
All right, where we at? Verse 26. Now, what he's going to do here, this king of Moab, he sees he can't win the battle, so he's going to call on his God now. See? The last thing he does is call on his God. The Christian, the first thing he does is call on God. See? Verse 27. Then he took his eldest son that should have reigned in his stead and offered him for a burnt offering upon the wall, and there was great indignation against Israel, and they departed from him and returned to their own land. They offered his own son on the wall. That wall is from back up in verse 25 there in Kahar Sat, where they didn't destroy the building. That's the wall he offered his son on. You see? Now this man is offering his firstborn to try to get the victory. You see that? Which God warns about in Micah. Matter of fact, take your Bible, I'm going to read it to you in Micah. Turn over in Micah. I don't remember the chapter. I have to find it. But he's warning about this. You see, people do all kind of things to try to make up for their sin. And they can't do it. But let's see, Micah chapter 6. Yeah, Micah 6. It's on page 950. And listen to this. Micah 6 verse 7. Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body, for the sin of my soul? Here's what he's doing. He's giving his firstborn to try to get the victory. And the Bible says, shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body, for the sin of my soul? Is that what God wants a man to do? No. No. Look at verse 8. Here's what God wants. Micah 6 verse 8. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. That's what God wants. Amen. Now you stop and think about that. God don't want you to do nothing or to try to do nothing to justify your sin. Huh? Now let's look at that thing just from a realistic standpoint. Just a minute. Suppose there was something that you could do about your sin. Suppose there was a religion that you could be a part of, or a ritual you could perform, or something you could be a part of and justify your sin. Suppose there was something like that. Then if it was, you wouldn't need the Lord, would you?
Hmm?
So these other things, religions and religious rituals and all this other stuff going on, is something to try to replace the Lord.
Right.
See? Like I've told you 100 times, the only problem you got is your sin.
Right.
I mean, that's the only problem you got. You get it taken care of, you get your sin justified, and you go to heaven. You don't, you go to hell. See?
Right.
And the only way you can get your sin taken care of is how? Not giving your firstborn, not offering no religious sacrifices. Up man, verse 7, will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams? Huh? That would please God? No. Are rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn? Would God be satisfied if I took my firstborn and give him? No. What does God want? To do justly and love mercy. If you love mercy, you got to come to Christ. Because that's the only place you find mercy, right? See it? So if there was something that a man could do for his sin, if this man giving his firstborn would have given the victory, then he wouldn't needed the Lord, see?
Right.
Didn't do him one bit of good. The only man that ever gave his firstborn son was Jesus, was God. Right? That's not all a man can be sin, see? So the Bible says there in 2 Kings chapter 3 verse 27, then he took his eldest son that should have reigned in his stead and offered him for a burnt offering upon the wall. And there was great indignation against Israel, and they departed from him, that is the king, and returned to their own land. Now what you got here is a very simple thing. Israel, they left the king and went back to their own land, you see. But notice, there was only one reason that the king of Israel and the king of Edom got that victory over the Moabites. Just one reason. What was it? There was one king in there that knew the Lord. And that was Jehoshaphat. See? Jehoshaphat was a good king. There's two good kings. And I told you, you know, Kings deals primarily with Israel. The Chronicles deal primarily with Judah. And you don't find no good kings in Israel after Solomon. I mean, after Solomon. Not one. Now, Judah had a few. This was Jehoshaphat and Hezekiah and Joab and a few of them. But Israel never had a good king after Solomon. They were all sorry. But Judah had a few good ones. That's why Judah survived longer, too. See? Judah survived 100 years longer than Israel did. You know why? They had a few good leaders that still stood for God and believed God. See? And the reason that we stood as long as we have, we still got a few people that stand for God and believe God. See? There's still some saved preachers in America that believe the King James Bible and pray and tell people, put it out.
Amen.
They're getting fewer all the time.